Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This podcast is a Royfield Brown production. Find others on iTunes.
All right. Yeah, I know.
Well, here we are. I'm Donald, often known as Turbrech on Twitter, 60-year-old farmer from Fife. I sell eggs, free-range eggs. That's not really why I'm calling. I'm calling because I want to take you back to around about 1975. We're in an upstairs bar in a student union in Edinburgh. The room is full of young men, too few women, alas, and we're singing songs. Some of the songs are positively indecent, and I have chosen not to remember any of them. But one song stands out. It's The Music Man, and one particular verse rings true. I'll try to sing it. I am the music man, I come from down your way. What can you play? What can you play? Now, there's a pause here. It could be cows, or it could be whales even. That was a memorable verse. But in this instance, what can you play precedes the archers, the archers. Dum-de-dum-de-dum-de-dum, dum-de-dum-de-dum, dum, dum-de-dum-de-dum-de-dum, dum-de-diddly-dum, 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 dum-de-dum-de-dum-de-diddly-dum, dum-de-diddly-dum.
This is Dumpy Dum, the show about the reality docu drama that is centered on Ambridge in the heart of the Midlands. I'm the glazed cornucopia that is Royfield Brown, and with me I have the dodgy shepherd's pie that is
Lucy Freeman.
And the last part of our home farm party, folks, is you. Now, this week's Dumpy Dum is one which we're digging up from the Oh, it's going to be that lovely bloke from last week.
Donald Torbreck.
Yeah, because he's proper lovely. He's proper lovely. And I know he tickled a certain part of you, didn't he, Lucy? Now, Lucy, if somebody...
Your stomach rumbling, making funny noises.
Mine? No, it's probably the San Andreas fault line here.
Fault.
Yeah.
Blimey.
Now, somebody else wants to join Mr. Turbreck and send us in a dum-de-dum loose. How can they do that?
If you would like to sing us a dum-de-dum, leave us a plot prediction, or get sick all down your mayoral chain, call us on 0203 0313105, or leave us a message on SpeakPipe. Thank you to Cosmo for his podcast roundups and for doing the Dumpty Dogs, to Shed Code for sponsoring us, and to Derek for loaning the back bedroom. Derek is a bit worried about Vauxhall being sold to Peugeot. As we know, he has a Vauxhall prostate, and he thinks a Peugeot prostate would just make him sound silly.
On this week's episode, we have Caution Witherspoon, who thinks Krusty is having a flight into health. Not Contrary, who wonders what apps Ambridge uses. Sarah, who thought the miscarriage might be a new start. And bye-bye Steve, who thinks women haven't got the googlies. But before we do all of that stuff, it's Juicy Lucy Freeman, my main woman, my main squeeze. I love her more than anybody else in the world.
Oh, shut up.
Week in Ambridge.
We started the week with Kira, who was mystifyingly being played by Henry. Windy, windy, windy. Could they not afford two voice recordings? Over at the tea room, Emma was grappling with the menu for the mud party all by herself. No mean feat, considering she only learnt how to cook Pop-Tarts a fortnight ago. Now she's whittling on about cornucopia and horns of plenty. The rest of us were hoping for plenty of horn from the party, but more of that anon. So, the obvious choice to help her with her culinary arrangements was Jimus. I'm not a chef, he said helpfully. Really, Jimus? Are you a racing driver? Are you a postman? This is a terrible game. Tom had a wobble about Brazil, where the nuts come from. I can't be any use to Kirsty in Brazil, he said, so I'm going to stay and not be any use to her here either. Anyway, Kirsty, horrified at the prospect of Tom hanging around like a fart in a phone box, sounding like Eeyore, said, no, you must go. Do go. Look, I've packed for you. I'll just do your coat up for you. Look, the taxi's on its way. Yes, I'll be fine. Just go, go. Another one for the thank God no one else was listening to the archers just then happened when we had Alistair asking, have you considered taking out a healthcare plan for the llamas? Anisha is talking about the vet's website to what Alistair described as high-powered web designers. Web designers aren't high-powered. They wear grey hoodies, pick their teeth with biro lids, and tell you why they can't make it do the thing you want because of flash or something. Mind you, to Alistair, fat Paul's high-powered. More internet goings on. Josh Ewing showed David his website selling second-hand kit. It's called joshsmassivetool.com. David was astonished that Josh would rather sit in the sitting room by the fire tiddling around on his laptop than out in the freezing lambing shed chopping off lamb's tails and piercing their ears. Eddie went rabbit hunting with Hercules and Adele. He was having to make the holes bigger in case Adele got stuck. Hello. And the game is up. Linda's twigged that Grange Farm is pinching her B&B customers. For some unaccountable reason, guests are picking Clary's home cooking over being force-fed bean sprout crumble, being beaten with sage twigs and forced look at pictures of llamas. Then Eddie suddenly remembered that he had a job at the cattle market and was immediately hijacked by Josh Ewing, who demanded that he put flyers about joshsmassivetool.com all over the place. In exchange for bottles of Merlot, which sounds incredibly unlikely, pint of Shires, yes, bottles of pineapple WKD, also yes, but not Merlot. Rex took Anisha out to practice at the nets. I just presume this was because Anisha had signed up to the cricket team, otherwise why on earth would they be there? But apparently it was just a whim, as she seemed to be astonished and horrified at the idea. Let me just put my shin pads, bat and ball away and sit and have a drink in this cricket club bar. Join the cricket club? Goodness me, I'd never thought. Rex kept telling her she'd had some decent strokes, but she had to keep her head down. Which is much the same as Justin was telling Lillian in the conservatory at Home Farm. So back to the fancy room now. We were honoured by the visit of the Right Honourable Mayor of Felpersham, Rachel Pisshead, Pilkington. She is allergic to broccoli and the only antidote for thinking about broccoli or even being near to anyone who might ever have eaten broccoli is a pint and a half of white wine. The result of this was that the mayor got very, very allergic. Allergic as a newt, she was. The theme for this fiasco was from eggs to apples, so they served fried egg sandwiches and toffee apples. They didn't, actually, but I bet the guests wish they had, because what they did serve was stodgy as anything, like pastry ballast. No wonder Lillian was on her knees after half an hour. We had a boring interlude about biodiversity while Jimus and Linda savaged Brian about bloody bee orchids while we were all shouting, where are Lillian and Justin and what are they doing and where's Miranda? Then things got really, really exciting when Lillian's earring fell out and Justin noticed, heaved it out of her chestal area and handed it back to her. There was a bit of heavy breathing, so what he was doing with his other hand, God only knows, but it seems to have been enough to have sent Miranda into a spectacular mard. So that was it. Nothing. I was expecting Justin at least to be caught by the photographer from the Borchester Echo trying to coax Lillian into a nibble at his cornucopia, but nothing. It comes to something when the most exciting part of a Friday night in Ambridge is focused around Brian Aldridge's ability to find a padded coat hanger. The end.
Oh, I enjoyed that this week. Well done, you. Well done, you. I've got a confession to make, Lucy.
What? You didn't listen to any of it?
No, I did, right.
You but turned up massively late to record? How about that? Sorry.
And by the way, in future, I trust you to not to broadcast my tardiness all over the interwebs, please.
Thinking, if he's actually gone and just forgotten this, then I haven't got any more time this week. So I was genuinely thinking, unless he pops up in the next 2 minutes, which you did by the seat of your flipping pants again, that was, I thought, well, we're not doing one this week. Anyway, carry on. Yes, you must.
I listened to Friday's episode, right? But I only listened with I didn't listen with both ears.
Mm. So I think one was ample.
Well, I got the hand down the front of Lillian.
Yeah.
But I completely, and I got the whole gym thing when Jenny was saying, oh, I had this wonderful idea of, you know, it's cornucopia. Yeah. It's all, you know, clacking. And Jim's going, really? Really? Did you? I missed every reference to the mayor.
Really? That was all it was about. That was the only interesting bit.
Well, I was on the tube, on the BART, and somebody was chatting in my other ear. And then there were some kids who were doing some kind of... Have you ever seen this? A couple of kids jumped on at West Oakland, and they were doing this kind of hip-hop dancey thing. And they're basically, they're all double jointed. It's what they're all doing now. So,
they just bend everything
exactly
back.
And you just go, ooh,
it'll all get arthritis.
Exactly. So I had Jennifer Aldridge in one ear, and then I had A Tribe Called Quest or something or other in the other. And the mayor of Felpisham was just lost. I don't have an awful lot to say about last week, other than all this bowling stuff is just rubbish, right? And I know somebody else on the Twitter said a deucer or whatever the hell, you know, there's no way some amateur cricketer is going to be bowling that. So I'm just going to let you, as always, be in the driving seat with this episode, right? I'm just along for the ride, right? So I'm buckled in loose. I'm strapped in with my seatbelt, right? Should we do the caller in us?
Before we get on to the esteemed caller in of us, mm-hmm. Was there any lead up to Anisha and Rex suddenly deciding to go to a sports centre miles out of town and bowl things at each other?
Well, there's no lead up to anything, because Rex is about as secretive as his brother, but just in a completely different way, because he drives for Uber, or is it Lyft?
Yeah.
Which one?
You know, he drives for. Yeah.
He's not a git, but, you know, he's a man of mystery, is our Rex. He's a boring man of mystery. And
that is a problem. If you're a man of mystery and you're still boring even after that, you're in trouble.
There are many people who hide behind this great wall of secrecy. And the thing is, they're not hiding anything, because there's nothing for them to hide. There are many people. Yeah. Rex is definitely one of those. I'm all for being earnest and being upright and being thoroughly decent, but have something about you though, man. Oh god, he's just such a bore. And obviously she's got some kind of angst. And what I thought was, and we didn't mention this last week, and I thought this was a little touch of genius, because I forget the name of one of their vet customers, and Anisha, who didn't like Anisha, and she took it really badly, and Alistair says, oh yeah, there's a chink in the Anisha armor. And she says, is it because I'm Asian? And I just thought, you know what? Yeah. Thank God, right? Because it injected a bit of realism into this. Because
she'd be called that Asian one, wouldn't she? I mean, exactly. For the next 15 years, everybody is going to be referring to as that. Have you had that Asian? They won't say the new vet or the woman vet or the tall vet. They'll say that Asian one.
But also, you know what? Just the fact that someone's taken an instant dislike to her. And it could be because, you know what, he just doesn't like women. It could be just because he thought she's a little bit brusque. It could be just he was just in a bad mood that day. But also, it could be because he's a fucking racist. Right, so, and it was, I thought it was great that was kind of put into the mix, and the anxiety that caused within her. Anyway, I'm rambling, right? But suffice to say, I found this week a little bit kind of slightly turgid, but I've been saying that for a couple of weeks now.
I think a few people said that, but I think I feel somewhat cheated.
Ooh.
of a kind of a big, I was hoping for a big, it was like they did it the wrong way around. We should have had Jennifer coming in and finding Justin retrieving an earring from Lillian's cleavage and going, oh, Lillian, really, blah 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 blah. I noticed she'd never had a pop at Justin once, but anyway. And then Miranda should have walked in on Justin and Lillian at it like knives. That's what I thought. And instead we got it the wrong way around, and it was all a bit of a, everyone sort of went, oh, is that it?
But surely if Miranda thought that she just suspected of something, she absolutely does know now. So without it being some big, massive volcanic eruption, oh, God, that's the wrong metaphor to use. But without the, you know, that was misplaced. Sorry, everybody. But without it being this major earthquake, it was kind of just subtly done, wasn't it? And, you know, in a crowded party, I know, you know, obviously Jennifer and Brian's place is going to be, you know, quite ample.
So she was in the conservatory, wasn't she? They were in the hallway or something, and Miranda just came out and they didn't see her.
But there's,
they were somewhere quite secluded. But
there is nowhere they could
be.
Go. How bad could what be?
Well, yeah. How bad could it have been? Whatever it was that she was doing.
Well, that he was had doing. A I mean, hand down the front. You can't explain that away, can you?
Well, you could say I was just fishing her earring out, but yes, no, that would sound right. No, I say it out loud.
You know, it didn't need the big, you know, that, you know, they're bonking underneath underneath the coats in a bedroom. Which reminds me of my party of some 18 months past when I caught somebody in my bedroom, just saying.
Jagging on your coat.
Well, I walked into my bedroom and I found somebody in a clinch with somebody else. And I went, oh, hello. That's all I'm saying, everybody. So apart from Lillian and Justin, Anisha, Rex, who else?
Tom left from Brazil.
I'm claiming a little bit of rightness with my prediction. It was wrong, but I was right. The whole Nuffield thing.
You said he'd call off Nuffield, yeah.
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 Mm-hmm. So yes. Are you going to say, well done, Royfield?
Well done, Royfield.
Thank you.
Good boy.
Well done.
Yes. Boy, back in your basket now. Sit down. Sit. Stop licking that. Right. Should we do calls now?
Yes, please.
Hello, Ambridge 3962.
That was slightly weird.
I know it was. I'll cut it. Who's first? Lucy V. Freeman.
Oh, no, now leave it. Now you've said that, it's made it funnier. Witherspoon first.
Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Tossed salads and scrambled eggs. Mercy.
Greetings, Lucy, Royfield, Millie Bell, and all Dungey Dummers around the world. Witherspoon and Angus Haggis here, getting ready to fly to Florida to visit my mom for a few days. If there's one thing we've learned from the Archers, it's that spending a lot of time with relatives under one roof can be challenging. Actually, I'm not going to be talking about the yin and yang of sisterhood, Jennifer and Lillian, but about Kirstie and Tom. Kirstie did a runner from her parents after spending some time under their care post-miscarriage. She returned with what at times has seemed like a healthy desire to return to her work and life, but at other times has seemed like a manic run in high heels from facing her loss. Psychoanalysts have long coined this phenomenon a flight into health, which is typically short-lived. As Harvard psychiatric researcher George Valiant, who has headed up the famous longitudinal study of long-term mental health, has noted, one of the most important predictors for a lifetime of true happiness is the ability to reach out to close friends and be open about one's feelings. So, Kirstie, here's hoping you do so. Regarding Tom, it seems to me that he's punishing himself for not only the loss of the unborn child, but still for leaving Kirstie screaming at the altar. And as Kirstie pointed out to him, his not going to Brazil was only going to make her feel worse, so I'm very happy that he decided to go. It's a step in the right direction for him, and I'm sure a relief for the Bridge Farm clan. So wish me luck with my mom. She's a combination of Susan, Peggy, and Vicky. Talk to you soon.
Yes. Kirstie is... I went back to work much too soon after my dad died. I thought, this will make it all better. I'll just forget about things. And I was an absolute loose cannon, even more than I am normally, for about 6 months. And when I look back on it now, I just think, in the world was I doing? And I understand what she's trying to do. I understand that she's, you know, you think, oh, I just need to reclaim my brain because it's been taken over by this thing. But It's not going to end well because she's going to start annoying people. And then she'll lose her job as well, which won't be very good either.
I thought it's always kind of in instances like this that Linda comes into her own, doesn't she? Because you just know that not only has she clocked completely what's going on, and well, she has already, but also she's going to be the absolutely sympathetic ear, the shoulder actually for Kirsty. Yeah. And I know Linda, I can't remember the exact details of this. I know Linda couldn't have kids. Did Linda actually have any miscarriages? I can't remember.
No, not as far as we know, but we just know that she couldn't have any. But I thought that Ruth's chat with Tom was very, very nice, because I think fathers so often get overlooked in this, because everybody, you bustle around the person that's had the physical harm to them, or the pain or whatever, and you could see that was sort of everyone's first instinct. How's Kirsty? Mm. But you know, it's a huge thing for him, and it's a huge, you feel that somehow you weren't supportive enough. You could have stopped it. You could have done something. You could, you know, there's, you know, and I was really glad that that they showed that sort of, you know, the man being able to talk about it to somebody that had, and not another man that had had it, but another woman that experienced it. I thought it was good.
No, absolutely. What else did Witherspoon talk about?
That was it. We've got Not Contrary next.
Hello, Dumpty Dum. It's Mary in Toronto. I'm Not Contrary on Twitter. I'm calling in response to the residents of Ambridge discovering their mobile phones, as Lucy and some other caller innerers have noted. Of course, with today's smartphones come apps, and we've seen Roy using Tinder, Eddie on Airbnb, and Rex driving for Uber. Although, because it's a BBC programme, none of these businesses are named. So I was thinking what other apps might be useful to the Ambridge residents. I wondered about Fallon and Emma perhaps using Pinterest to get inspiration for their catering business. Perhaps they wouldn't have to resort to Jim's dusty old books. Maybe Josh's farming website. There's some kind of timeshare option you can have for renting out farming equipment that would otherwise be sitting idle. There's all kinds of possibilities. And then I was thinking, it's quite surprising that there aren't any software developers in the village that we've met. They would seem to be ideally placed to buy houses in Ambridge, because their income's pretty good and they can work remotely. So maybe that would inject some new interesting characters into the village. That's all I have for now. Thank you and goodbye.
Rex is driving for Uber or Lyft.
Mm.
The Grundys are using Airbnb.
Mm.
Roy is using Tinder, isn't he? Swipey righty thingy.
Mm.
What other apps do you think that that Ambridge uses?
Well, the teenagers would be on Snapchat.
Yeah.
Absolute rock solid certainty.
Linda would be on Twitter. She'd be one of those people that can start a fight in an empty room on Twitter. Tweet something, then immediately argue with themselves, and then come back and argue with someone else and say, well, actually, don't forget the people that can't, blah, 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 blah. They've got a right as well, you know, and all that. And then before you know it, you're in a Twitter storm and it's all been caused by one person. A lot of willful misunderstanding, I think.
Well, Jennifer is definitely a Facebook person.
Or Kate would be Twitter.
I would have said Kate's more Twitter.
Oh, no, Kate would be more Instagram, wouldn't she? Poncing around pictures of candles.
You're right. Yeah. Well done.
There'd be all these horrible inspirational things with lots of hashtags.
Mm.
Hashtag love, hashtag peace, hashtag starlight. Hashtag my womb, whatever it is.
What else?
Um, I'm just having a look at my own apps. What have I got? I've hardly got any.
Well, I keep running out of space on my iPhone for apps.
Jennifer would have the Underwoods app for home delivery.
Oh, well done.
Ordering online.
But just whilst we're at it, right, I'm not sure Uber will have got to Borsetshire. Because
no.
Uber is not actually in Stafford. And I discovered this just before Christmas, before I jumped out.
At 3 o'clock in the morning when you were stranded outside a cab.
Yeah, it was properly old school, Lucy. I had to go onto Google and type in, get this, taxi. And then it had to then find me a list of local results for taxi. I had to click on a link for it to call the taxi.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, the profession. It's practically like the third world. the thing is, I can remember Rex saying, the local minicab office, he didn't say, I'm going to sign up to be a...
Okay, well, then that makes sense. Though, some of the more... far-sighted local minicab offices do actually have apps now.
Yes.
Yeah. So, though the ones in Stafford don't. They're proper old school.
No.
Barely listed on Google. Barely.
I think that Jill would have...
Jill wouldn't even have a smartphone. What are you talking about?
No. Jill would have a load of battered old... cookery books held together with sellotape and bits of string.
Oh, okay.
But Ruth would insist on using the Good Housekeeping app, the BBC Good Food app on her mobile, I think.
I think I might just about give you that. I don't know. I don't know who else would have what, to be fair. Have your family and friends...
Sorry, carry on. Yes.
Do your family and friends do the WhatsApp group thing?
Yes. Yes.
I must admit, right, I'm getting a bit tired of my, this is really bad, right?
You can't leave your own family group. It's not allowed.
Well, I'm going to have to mute it or something. I'm really sorry for what I'm about to say, but I know there's none of that side of my family actually listen to Dum De Dum, but there's too much God stuff on it, Luce. Oh, my God. So my mum's side of the family... Totally and utterly.
Oh yes, I remember. Yeah.
So it's that, you know, they got and the Seventh-day Adventists, and every day there is Psalms verse 1 chapter 3 or Matthew some homily, and just
could you start tweeting back with bits from the Archers and say the, you know, Brian verse 9.
The thing is,
the broccoli was in the bottom of her glass.
If it's
Book of Brian, second verse.
I feel really bad, right? But I just kind of ignore it now. And I think it's wonderful. And you know when a technology has become ubiquitous.
You can use it without leaving, can't you?
Yeah, that's what I'm going to have to do. Because I'm getting all these notifications of a new Bible verse to look at. And at first...
A new one?
Yes.
And a sequel, eh?
The Bible Strikes Back.
Because the ending was rubbish, the first one, I have to say.
Well, the end of the world, you know, Armageddon.
I don't know, that we couldn't.
Well, sorry, New York, Nigel, but it's just all a bit much. It feels very un-British to be hit over the head every morning. Actually, it's just like that morning nonsense on Radio 4, I suppose, really. That's every day, isn't it?
Jonathan Miller said, thought for the day is what gets him out of bed in the morning because he has to...
Switch off the radio.
he has to get out, run across the room and hit the radio with his slipper until it goes off.
Yeah. Yes. But I tell you what, I did watch over the weekend, Hacksaw Ridge.
Is it good?
Well, it's... No. It actually... isn't, though the fact that it's a true story is absolutely amazing. And the link for that, everybody, is the fact that half my family is Seventh-day Adventists, and this is a story of this Seventh-day Adventist conscientious objector in the Second World War who signs up to the army, does basic combat training, but won't pick up a gun, and he gets almost court-martialed, then goes off to a place called Hacksaw Ridge, which is basically Okinawa. And he's an army medic. He says, I just want to save people, but I want to do my duty. and he's a 7-day conscientious objector. And I was thinking, I need to say that on my family WhatsApp group, that I can't be doing with all the God stuff in the nicest possible way. The very fact that I'm basically a rubbish Buddhist will so upset them if I was actually to say that, because they're properly God Squad people. To say that this is something which is somewhat kind of inspiring, because they're 7-day Adventists just like him. It's a beautiful story. It's a very beautiful story. And this guy only died about 5-6 years ago, and he just went into battle, Lucy, without a gun, just running around, being an army medic, and without wanting to spoil what he does. But he does something so ridiculously heroic and just unbelievable under shellfire, and does it like for a whole night. He's actually moving, though. As a movie, it's kind of overly sentimental, and there's this. It doesn't quite ring true, though. Andrew Garfield plays it absolutely brilliantly. A Brit doing it in Hollywood. But as a story, go watch it. As a film, it doesn't quite have the emotional impact as, say, something like Lion. But in terms of a soldier of conscience going into battle without a gun, it's absolutely just incredible. Incredible feat of heroism.
We've got Steve now.
Hello, Dumpty Dum, it's Steve here. Thank you for the last podcast, Roy Field and Lucy's description and analysis of what goes wrong when an affair ends was just spot on. I think somebody would have paid a lot of money to get that sort of advice. Brilliant. Thank you, guys. It was really good. Tom's moping about a bit, isn't he? Yeah. I know he's had a big shock, but I think his whiny voice just sort of grates and is a bit sort of bitter May, if you get what I mean, but I suppose he's had a bit of a shock, but it's just a bit annoying. Now, I suspect I'm going to get thrown off Dumpty Dum for saying this, but a mixed cricket team, they're going to get slaughtered. I'm sorry, but there are some things that women are not as good as men at. I can put it that way. I mean, you know, there was something in the news about the women's England football team being beaten by a mid-table teenage boys team. I know it's going to pan out. Anusha's going to be bowling a spinner at a crucial match to either keep Ambridge up or stop them going down. But it just doesn't add up, I'm afraid. I'm sorry. I know I sound like a hoary old sexist, but come on. I can't see it myself. I'm really enjoying Lucy's walkie-talkie podcast. Keep them coming. And I think that's it, really. Oh, God. Last thing made me laugh out loud, Brian's comment about finding broccoli at the bottom of the glass when the mayor was shit-faced upstairs. Brilliant. Really good. Anyway, that's me done. I hope you're all okay, and I love you all. Bye-bye, bye-bye. Love you. Bye-bye, bye-bye. Mwah, mwah. You go first. Bye-bye, bye-bye. No, you. Bye-bye, bye-bye. Mwah, bye-bye.
Infidelity.
Moping. Yes, infidelity and moping Tom. Well, Tom just takes on everybody's kind of... He takes on everybody's sadness and then tries to fix it and then gets frustrated when he can't fix it and then takes that frustration out on everybody else. So it's kind of a bit of
I disagree with you. It's not everybody's sadness. He's taken on Kirsty's.
Families and people he loves, you know, Kirsty's and Helen's as well. He was like it when Helen.
Yeah, yeah.
He went marching around when Helen was in trouble, didn't he? Mm. Yes, I shan't. I'm not sad. I'm not sad, I have to say, to see him go. I hope he comes back happier. Yes. We can do Sarah, because Sarah has also stuff to say about Krusty and Thomas.
Awesome.
Hello, my name is Sarah Humphreys. I'm a kind of first-time caller in. I did call in once before, and you're gonna play my call, I think, at the beginning of the 100th edition when you were in London, but something happened and you didn't. And I haven't called in since, not because of any kind of chagrin, but I've just been quite happy listening and lurking and enjoying the company of all the Dumpty Dummers, but secretly, until last week's edition of the podcast, when a combination of two things happened that have made me want to call in. The first was when Lucy mentioned Ivor Cutler, And I just thought, oh my God, if Lucy is an Ivor Cutler fan, then I'm just going to love her even more than I already do. And then Andrew Horn mentioned about the Norwich meetup, and I live very close to Norwich, and I was devastated that I didn't know about it, and I'd have loved to have gone along to that. So I'm really fed up that I didn't catch on to that it was happening. So Sue and the other two Sarahs, let's rise to Andrew's challenge and meet up. Let's do it. I suppose I should say something about the archers. Tom and Kirsty, I do hope that you were wrong about the miscarriage being a vehicle to release Annabelle Dowler to pursue other projects, although that would be good for her, I suppose. But when the miscarriage happened, I was, of course, devastated for them, but I did think that maybe this was a chance for Tom and Kirsty to start anew. They both wanted the baby. The way it was, it almost had to be that Kirsty would do it on her own because of all that stuff that had happened beforehand. But I wondered whether this shared grief that they were both subjected to could maybe move them to a place where they could put all that stuff to one side and focus on what feels real now. Well, what I think feels real now, which is that they love each other and they want to be with each other. And I don't know, I kind of felt that maybe from this position they could decide that they can be together and that they do want to be parents together and do it kind of like in a joint way. Yeah, I don't know. That would be nice.
Yes, I am a fan of Ivor Cutler.
Mm-hmm. Can I just quickly say, Sarah, if you were due to be on the 100th episode at the start and then you weren't, invariably that's me. Sorry, screwed up.
Oh, yeah. Now, yes, I'm sorry, Sarah. I don't know. Well, I can't even remember what that might have been.
Yeah, that's my
Send fault. It again, whatever it was. Send it again. How many more people in Norwich called Sarah are there? Because so far we seem to have four of them. Maybe we've got all the people in Norwich called Sarah. I don't know. But I do hope you get to meet up with the other Dumpty Dummers, because that sounds like fun, particularly if Andrew Horny Boy is involved. yes, I see what you mean about the miscarriage and that it might be a new start for them or whatever, you know, that they realised that they didn't want, that they wanted to be parents together if they didn't want to be together, blah, blah, blah. But I just think Tom kind of messed it up a bit again, because he just kind of put the wind up Kirsty, didn't I? But by kind of coming in so hard.
No, that's harsh. That's harsh. Whatever you do, whatever anybody does for old Krusty, it's going to be wrong, right? And you yourself said that it's really good that his feelings haven't been forgotten in all of this. So he's going through this emotional turmoil and loss, and actually, whatever you do and say for Kirsty is wrong. It's just that you just need to give her time and give her the space to rediscover her balance, don't you? You just need to be, you know, you just need to give her the time and space, because she's just flying well off the rails. So whatever Tom's going to do and say, it's going to be wrong. If he goes off to Brazil, people say, the bastard, he's gone to Brazil. If he, no, didn't even realise he's having a meltdown.
Why didn't he go to Brazil? Should have left her alone. God,
you know, bloody idiot. And now he's going to Brazil. It's a case of, oh, you know, he just, the poor bloke can't win. So, but also.
If he is and he's damned.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Guilty of being in possession of a penis.
Yeah. He's been having a party. Anyway, Sarah, ring in again. It's very nice to hear from you. And I'm glad that you have finally made it onto the airwaves this time. And that's the end of the calls. But we have an email from Amy.
Right.
Amy says, this is Amy Gilbert, who is our listener in Scotland. And she came to our...
what did show.
She come to? Was that our live one? That was our 100th one?
Yeah.
And Amy is blind. And bloody hell, I find crossing London in the rush hour terrifying enough, and I can see. So, my God, I was so admiring of her doing it. Anyway, this is what she said. Sorry I haven't contributed for a while. I'm still around, I promise. I just wanted to drop you a quick line or two. I know Dumpty Dum holds a special place in all our hearts, and I wanted to put my two pennies worth down. I can't believe it's nearly a year since the 100th episode. So much has happened. I would like to say how much I really enjoyed myself that night. It was lovely to meet some new people. Nobody would have known, but I was suffering with quite a high level of anxiety. I've got very good over the years at hiding it. That night down in London was a massive achievement for me. You're not kidding, Amy, honestly. I was on such a high the next day going home. Unfortunately, that high did not last after a horrible tube journey during rush hour a few months later. I knew things were getting much worse, and they did over the next few months. I didn't leave the house for 12 days once. I was at my lowest. Dumpty Dum and the Archers were a real comfort for me during that horrible time. I'm very glad to say things are slowly on the up. I'm having counselling. I've just completed the first stage of training for the Samaritans. I'm hoping to start a part-time job in April. And the best thing of all is I'm hoping to get a guide dog. I had a matching visit with one the other day. I'm just hoping she's a match. She is a gorgeous Labrador Retriever cross called Krista. I wanted to say a massive thank you from the bottom of my heart for being there when I could barely leave my bedroom, let alone my house, for always managing to put a smile on my face, no matter how rubbish I felt. To me, this isn't just a weekly podcast. It's a community of wonderful people, and I am very proud to be a part of it. Amy. Oh. Amy, we are very proud to have you as a part of it.
Also, absolutely.
Especially because Amy's practically listened from the very beginning, hasn't she?
She's old school, as well as being hardcore. The other thing to say, Amy, is I haven't got back to you with the fact that we have put in a request to BBC Publicity to speak to Ryan because we wanted to do, for the wider listeners, Amy came to us with the idea, I think it's about November of last year, of doing a show about the reason why so many blind people get a lot from the Archers. So we thought it'd be great to also have Jazza in on that episode as well. The actor that plays Jazza, Ryan, who's actually blind also. I'm going to chase that up, Amy, because I have sent a couple of emails, but I need to chase that up because I know just in my time doing Dumpty Dum, I've bumped into at least five blind Archers listeners who basically say that the Archers has an incredibly special place in their lives, in their routines. And this is a thing, in inverted commas. So I think it'd be good for us here at Dumpty Dum to document that, really.
Yay.
Yay. Anyway.
Yes, and very, very good luck with the dog, and let us know how it goes. I know you had your visit with her. Mm. So, yes, let us know how it goes.
Right, we're going to come back the other side of listening to a couple of trails. One of them is for my shoddy Rush Together podcast where I just speak to randoms about randoms, and then the other one is for Lucy's awesome, well thought out, in depth character study where she walks her pooch with a random, but just like she gets them to reveal a shed load of stuff about themselves. So don't listen to my podcast, just go to iTunes.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High-quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Any podcatcher of your choice, listen to hers. But anyway, here's a trail for it right now. In an uncertain world, there is always music which can be listened to in good company. Welcome to Friday 15, the show where we speak to friends and interesting people to the backdrop of great tunes and allocate 15 minutes to both.
I mean, I was 8 years old, interesting, the same age as the Dragon King's daughter when she comes out of the sea. But what was happening to me when I was 8 years old was that I was at the hands of a paedophile in a classroom for a year. And
awesome. Yeah. For me, I think the reason that I somehow managed to win in the end is that for me, it's about an economy of the three things that bring a song together.
Catch up with me speaking to friends and interesting people every Friday afternoon on Friday 15, which you can get, of course, from a podcatcher of your choice.
Hello, I'm Lucy, and this is Walkie Talkie. I walk my dog, Basil, pretty much every day in a foresty bit of London. I have been doing so for about 4 years, and I meet people that, as a dog walker, you talk to people. If your dogs get on, you tend to just, you say, which way are you going? Can I come with you? And you just sort of amble along, and you can end up having the most extraordinary conversations. Partly because you are walking side by side and facing front, so there's no embarrassing eye contact. If things get a bit heavy, if someone starts talking about something that they find emotional or difficult, then you can always divert your attention onto the dogs and relieve the tension a little bit. We've seen, as a group of dog walkers, we've seen people get pregnant, have children. We've seen people whose dogs have become ill and died, and the owner says, oh, I can never have another one. And then in a couple of months' time, they appear with a puppy and everyone's delighted to see them. And we've seen people's marriages break down, new romances start. It's a lovely way to start your morning. It never fails to give me something nice to think about, something interesting to think about, even if it's not nice. And having a dog is a sort of a universality, really. The people aren't all like me, as I hope you'll realise over the course of the series.
Leading up to the 1860 election, in walks a gentleman by the name of Abraham Lincoln, who is the Republican candidate. The Republicans to the South represent the ending of slavery. And Lincoln, despite the fact that his sentiment was always in the beginning to preserve the Union rather than to abolish slavery, becomes the lightning rod of anti-Southern sentiment. And he ends up winning the election in 1860 with no support from the South.
The Guardian, Manchester, Tuesday, November 20th, 1860. Summary of news, foreign. The details respecting the presidential election furnished by the New York journalist, not complete, but they not only assure us of Mr. Lincoln's election, but show that the Republican Party has obtained far more than the requisite number of votes for his return. It is calculated that New York, Pennsylvania, the New England states, New Jersey, and the Northwestern states give him 171 electoral votes, or 19 more than the majority required for the election, the total number of electoral votes being 303. It is not improbable 2, that this majority may be further swelled by the result of the elections in the Pacific states of Oregon and California. We have no account of the manner in which the Southerners have received the intelligence of Mr. Lincoln's election. The next advices will no doubt be filled with fierce Southern declamations and protest, but it's not very likely that any Southern states will do anything more than talk loudly about secession.
Listen to the first show exclusively on Mixcloud today and subscribe to us on iTunes. From Washington to Obama, 10 American Presidents, the new podcast from Royfield Brown.
Hey everyone, it's Millie Bell here this week, and we've been very busy on the forum, so thank you to Royfield for drumming up the business there. What does Helen do now? Ask Kiwi Listener, and Leonie Beavers is talking about the podcast awards. We'd like you to be talking about it too, please. It really does help us. Fiona Powell has a wee little rant about grief, and I'm just going to read you a little bit that Martha Minnie wrote about a wild child. She said, "I'm so cross state normal these days. We've already had one huge character aberration when they turned Krusty into Bridezilla. Please don't give us another one now. Strappy shoes, clubbing. We all know that Krusty's been leaving out her cardigan year since circa 2002. Bird watching with Patrick used to be her number one hobby. Thank you very much for that. And if you'd like to respond, please jump onto our forum. And on the Facebook page, we've also been very, very busy. I got very, very cross with Jenny because I just did not understand why she would walk into Lillian's bedroom. It's not something I would do with my own adult children, even my 13-year-old. I would always knock first because you just don't know. Could be shaving their legs. Who knows? Denise Tomlinson agreed. Jenny had no business doing that. Haven't been into my children's room since they were teenagers. Their squalor is their own business. Gina Charlesworth said, no, she just wouldn't. That was the first thing I thought when I heard that scene. And what was that baloney about the whole village finding out about the affair if she carried on like this? Is the whole village scripted to walk into the bedroom? Gina, I thought that too. I was like, how are the whole village going to find out? Only you know, Jennifer. And Rachel Hannah said, I'm still recovering from the sound effects. Justin zipping up his fly was just too much at dinner time on a Friday. Look, there was a lot of outrage on this thread, so please get into it. You've got to look at the comment from Millie Hart, who said, the thought of a 70-year-old woman bejazzling herself. So please go and have a look if you'd like to see the other comments. We also talked about the fact that if we could tell from Kirsty's tone of voice that she didn't want to discuss her miscarriage, and I could tell, why are none of the other residents able to use their radar for that? And Kate Lyle said, and if everyone in the village knows and is talking about Kirsty's miscarriage, how come nobody appears to have known or talked about Rob and Helen? Well, that is a very good question too. Rachel Hannah says Linda doesn't have the best track record in picking up on these things. She's had moments of compassion, particularly with Vicky when she was pregnant with Bethany, but is usually too wrapped up in her own affairs to notice these subtle emotional cues in others. Actually, Linda's always been really good with the younger members of the village. She's been awesome with Kate in the past. So I was actually surprised when she didn't pick up those cues. We also did a fair bit of chatting about whether Jenny was going to pay Emma and Fallon for all the extra effort they put into that ridiculous theme of land, which of course has now resolved itself. We asked about Josh and Eddie, whether they seemed to be, for one of the episodes, serious wheeler dealers, and Valerie Bailey said, yep, like Steptoe and Son or Del Boy and Rodney. And finally, there was a big discussion about whether Tom was going to withdraw from the Nuffield. Naughty Nick Austin, said, shame he didn't do a bit of withdrawing back in September. I did snork at that. Joanne Smith said, of course he is.
Giving it up allows him to hang around Kirsty, giving her sad puppy dog eyes and hand-picked bouquets of flowers for months on end until she agrees to become a couple again or hires Lily to run him over. Witherspoon says Tom is determined to continue to punish himself for leaving Kirsty at the altar. And Diane Leal said, is he really going to be that daft? Surely he will be talked out of it. Too much at stake. Well, you were right. He was talked out of it. As we know, he was going to the airport. But did he get on the plane? We don't know that yet, do we? And finally, I would just like to alert you to the fact that the fabulous Lucy V has got her podcast for Walkie Talkie up. I have heard it. The dogs are scene stealers. The first episode is absolutely fantastic. Please join the Facebook page and tell others about it, because as you know, that's how it works in podcast world. I look forward to seeing you in a fortnight.
Tell you what, Millie Bell, that's a close run thing. Right in at 5 minutes. Whew. Now, yes. Lucy, it's that time where you tell us about the best tweets that have had hashtag the Archers attached to them in the last 7 days.
At Rainbow Warrior said, padded or well hung? I wish Miranda would make up her mind. Borsetshire Police said, we appeal to all criminals in the area to work a standard working week to allow for PC Burns to organise a cricket routine. Christine, he just seems to have done absolutely bugger all apart from sort this sodding cricket. He still hasn't found that bunting, I notice. Anyway, Christine Adgo said, anyone else mentally pushing that plane along the runway before Tom changes his mind? Christine, that
harsh.
Is mean. Christine,
harsh.
You may be interested to know that you appear in Private Eye this week. In Sued's Corner, talking about the Academic Archers. It was the title, it was the link between cake eating and digestive complaints or something on the Archers. And it was a deliberately long-winded academic title, which was very funny, but Private Eye had it sent in as a genuine inclusion to Sued's Corner, so it's appeared in Private Eye.
Okay.
Anyway. David Blake.
You're so well read, said, aren't you? Just a finger on the pulse. Look at you.
David Blake said, he was talking to Ms. Merrythought. He said, so you want Tom to come back with a Brazilian? Just a short back and sides would be fine, surely. And Richard Baker, after the appalling rummaging around in Lillian's cleavage, his tweet of the week, he said, puts hand up, I want an organisation to contact as I was deeply affected by what I heard.
Hey.
Oh dear. So that's it.
Right. Shall we just speed on to a conclusion? Oh, did you listen to Fiona Powell's Henwy story last week?
I haven't yet. It's on my list. I've got to listen to that as well.
So many people said they liked it.
I know, it was very loved.
She's such a good storyteller, that woman. Mm-hmm. Rather good. Dumdydum.com, folks. It's the place where we keep all our dumdydum things together online, that is. Well, no, not all of them, because you can go and
think
Twitter.
Of it as a dumdydum suitcase in your laptop.
Yeah, exactly. But one of the major things to go to dumdydum.com for is Tractor. So you go pin yourself to a map, see what people kind of live relatively close to you that also like dumdydum and the Archers. And it's a great way to hook up. I know Andrew Horn's using it as his little black book, aren't you, Andrew Horn? Going up for Norfolk for your little tryists and whatever, getting up to all sorts. And I know that Witherspoon used it whilst organising the New York meetup the other day. Now, talking about meetups, oh, crumbs. Folks in the Bay Area in California, bear with me. I'm going to put my noggin to sorting out our meetup. And let's try and get it done in the next 2 weeks. So please bear with me. But anyway, Tractor, go there, dumdydum.com. It's smashing, super, it's awesome. Now, we periodically say to you, give us some cash, because there are things that cost and just we need to keep this little show on the road. It's got ways you can help us by doing that if you've got any spare shekels. Now, if your firstborn is about to go off to university, we're not expecting you to, you know, stand them down from that so you can send us money. And, you know, we know where we are in the priority of things. But if you've got any spare, you know, like $5, you know, a tenner, a fiver.
If it's a choice between us or buying a copy of Grazia, go for it.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. That's a perfect analogy. Perfect analogy. But say if it's a cross between, you know, us or Private Eye, what would you say?
Oh, that's hard. Oh dear.
Us or Homes and Garden?
Oh God, us.
Us or the lady?
Are you joking?
All right, us or a copy of the Daily Mail?
Again, are you joking?
All right, us or your BBC license fee?
You bastard, you can't ask me that.
Anyway, folks, why don't you make up your mind? See what that line is. Oh, it's dumb, this publication. I'll tell you what, if you've got a Sky subscription, can't even say that. If you've got a subscription for Sky, screw it, give us the cash. Right, Richard Murdoch doesn't need any more of your cash. Exactly.
Richard Murdoch doesn't. Rupert Murdoch doesn't either. But
yeah, that's the person. Yeah, whatever. There's so many of those Murdochs.
Richard Murdoch was on the radio in the 1940s.
Was he? Oh, right. Mm.
He did the Men from the Ministry. It's still on BBC Radio 4 Extra. Anyway, I digress.
Yeah, talking about digressing. Thank you to Celebrating Adam and all of the people who are now I'm getting a daily map on the Twitters now, Lucy.
Yeah.
So the one I got today was a map that shows every country in the world is best at. They just keep on a coming. I got a really interesting one this week, a few days ago, about if Europe was just drawn, of the boundaries of Europe were drawn ethnically. Which I don't know when that map was actually done, but that was just wrong.com. So it had like the Sudetenland, which doesn't even exist anymore, being part of Germany. And then a lovely one from Louise Lombard, who said, "What does this map show you?" And I'm going to retweet that.
Louise Lombard.
That's what I just said.
Sorry, I thought you said Louise Lombard.
No, she's not somebody from Northern Italy or one of the German...
Louise Lombard is an actress.
Oh, no. It's Lombard.
Yes, that's why she calls herself. Oh, yes, okay. Yes.
Right. Anyway. Yes. Anyway, thank you for all the maps, folks. Keep them coming. Anyway, so where are we with this? We've gone really off-piste. Oh, yeah, donating. So just donate by hitting the donate button and going on to patreon.com. and you can donate a couple of dollars a show. Remember to get in contact, folks. You can send us a voice message via SpeakPipe on our website, which is dumdum.com. You can call us on 0203-031-3105 to leave us a telephonic message, which a lot of people did this week, because I believe at some point SpeakPipe was down. Because bye-bye Steve never really calls in. He via the telephone number, he did this week. And I know that Witherspoon had some problems too, because he sent me a message via a back channel. Anyway, on Twitter, we are at DumDeeDum. Me, I'm at Royfield. Harry is at Shambridges.
And I am at Lucy V. Freeman.
On Facebook, why don't you join the Millie Bell and Yokel Bear show by typing in DumDeeDum. And joining in their carousing, because that's what they do over there on the Book of Face. That's me done. And I told you we'd bring this in on time, didn't I?
You did.
And I even rambled.
Over.
But you got to run.
I have got to run like a hare. Yes.
All right. You do your parent governor thing, being an upstanding member of society. And I'll see you.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
In approximately 7 days' time, some more Archers-related Dum-de-dum chat, no doubt.
Okie doke.
Bye-bye.
See you later. Bye.